to the Muslim Viewpoint, a new video podcast series powered by the nonprofit national media platform American Muslim Today. I'm your host, Maya Gaylor, and today we are continuing our Get Out the Vote series. Earlier, we spoke to the Republican candidate for Arizona's 7th Congressional District, Daniel Gutierrez, who is running against the incumbent Raul Grijalva. First, I'm just going to kind of ask you the same thing. Just tell us a little bit about who you are and why you decided to run.
All right. Well, my name is Daniel Gutierrez. I'm running for Arizona CD7, which is the whole southern border of Arizona. Was born and raised here. I'm a third generation Arizonan. I'm also one of Arizona's wrongfully convicted. Took 30 years before the state finally admitted that I had, one, not committed the crime, and two, had never even been convicted in the first place. I had served 9.5 years in the Arizona State Prison. I walked out after half the time, wound up losing my children, the mother of my children. Everything I owned was gone. I went through a state of depression, started running with the guys I met in prison, became homeless, hooked on drugs, got violated after, about 2 years of being homeless. Went back to prison, started realizing that I became somebody I wasn't, gave my life over to the Lord, and changed my life around, walked out of prison, went to work for a company, worked there for 10 years. Then I went and got my contractor's license. I started Gutierrez Painting. I built that company up. Then I bought the company I had worked for and wound up getting my record clean about that time. And I decided that the homeless crisis plaguing our city, the migrant situation, the drugs that are killing off people in the streets, someone needed to step up and do something. The individual that's been in office for 22 years has fought to have these things continue on. And I realized it was going to take somebody from the community to stand up against this individual and take his place in Congress to do something. So my actual reason for running is because I just care about our community.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's quite the story. Very inspiring. And then I'm sure, as you already know, Tucson is one of the poorest cities in the country. So what specific economic policies do you plan to implement to raise wages, reduce homelessness, and make Tucson more attractive to tourists and businesses?
Well, for starters, in the 80s, we used to be, Arizona's the three C's. We're cattle, copper, cotton, citrus, and climate. Okay. We used to be a mining state. Copper was our big money industry. In the 80s, copper dropped. The mines shut down. The Fed stepped in and decided that they were going to help Arizona because everyone was out of work. So they had this new industry they were going to bring into us. From there, we became the prison capital of the world. There are more prisons in the state of Arizona than any other state in the union. So instead of guys coming out of school going to work, they came out and got involved in the other big industry here, drugs. And they sell drugs, they use drugs. This filled our prisons, gave those other individuals jobs as correction officers. And this is what's made our community poor. Douglas is probably the poorest town in the state of Arizona. It used to be a big mining town. Now it's just a dying town. So the thing we need to do is return to opening up our minds again, like Sam and Will. It had regulations. It had, federal regulations that kept an eye, make sure that no contamination was spreading out. It was an underground mine. I think the open pit mines are very destructive to the beauty of our state. So I do like the underground mines, though they require more structure, we have to have more engineers, make sure that we're not damaging or bringing in the underground water we have in our state. But we do need to open those mines again, especially seeing as they need copper to build these new electric cars. You need lithium for the batteries. Though I don't know what they're ever going to do with the batteries, because that's going to become another problem later on to the environment. But politicians don't think about these things. Me as a businessman, I think about things. What's going to happen if I do this? Because I have to, otherwise I wouldn't have a business.
So you have strongly defended the Second Amendment as a right given by God, emphasizing its importance for self-defense. However, in light of recent mass shootings, I believe there was one at a Georgia high school, how do you reconcile this view with the need for responsible gun ownership and even potential reforms?
I actually believe that I don't have a problem with people doing background checks. As a matter of fact, I think anybody that gets a gun or possesses a gun should take the CCW course. Now, when I was in school, we used to, in elementary, we were taught gun safety. Okay, the NRA actually gave classes in elementary. So we learned to respect the gun. We learned to appreciate the gun. We didn't have these kind of things that happened. As a matter of fact, when I was in high school, my guns used to be in the back window of my truck when I pulled into the school grounds. Nobody ever got shot. It's got nothing to do with the guns or anything. It's got to do with how we're raising our kids. And our kids are not being raised with any respect right now. And if you ever go to a high school, go spend a day in a high school, and you'll see that these kids have no respect for their teachers. They have no respect for authority, and they're being allowed to get away with that. So what we need to do is start teaching our kids to respect one another and respect guns and weapons so that they have an understanding.
Yeah, and I will say, honestly, as a Texan, I kind of see where you're coming from. I think, you know, I was raised in a very, you know, pro-gun environment, taught how to use one at a young age. And I think my dad honestly even said the same thing about bringing his gun to school in the back of his truck. As a Muslim platform committed to addressing the concerns of not only, you know, the Muslim community, but all minority communities, and especially as a member of the Republican Party, how do you view former President Donald Trump and specifically his soft stance on Israel, his close relationship with Netanyahu? How do you believe that this affects the Republican support in Arizona for him?
Well, I can tell you this. Donald Trump, he has always spoken when he shouldn't. And he says things maybe he should phrase it a little better. He doesn't hold it back any punches. But just so you know, I've been endorsed by President Trump. I'm not really MAGA, though, because there is but one Christ. Okay? But I do like a lot of the policies he's done. And to let you know, in minorities, I'm a Mexican-American. My grandfather came from Mexico in the 1800s, my great-grandfather. I was growing up with an Irish mother and a Mexican dad. So I don't have those kind of bigotries that others might have. So I don't connect with those kind of things. But I just see people as people. And as far as the Muslim Israel, again, people are people. And I believe that we should be trying to unite people, not just jump into a war and a battle and a conflict without any understanding of what each side has, that their issues are, that their angers are. That's what I think about on that one. So.
Just to kind of ask, I mean, currently the Biden administration is a Democratic administration. However, they are still supporting, these military actions in Gaza. Do you think that Trump would try to stop them?
I believe if Trump gets into office, this war will stop. First off, when Trump says, I'm going to do this, he means he's going to do this. Everyone knows he means he's going to do this. So they wouldn't push the boundaries like they do with Biden. Or if you remember, I don't know if you remember Obama's red line. He drew a red line, and then they challenged his red line, so he stepped back about 10 feet and drew another red line. That kind of leadership doesn't have any kind of success.
Right. And then kind of just moving on a little bit, specifically when it comes to the Muslim population in Arizona, which is about 100,000, how have you reached out to this population?
I actually haven't reached out to them. I only know where their temple is. I don't know where any of the groups are. I have spoken with them at the, because we do the high rises next to their temple and I have, or their mosque. I have spoken to them and engaged in that way. But at that time, I wasn't actually running for office. I was just a contractor on a job. This right. is actually the first time I've actually had an opportunity to speak with any. No, I got to take that back. I spoke with a group up in Yuma, but I was talking to a bunch of people and these girls had walked up and I was talking to them. They left and they came back and asked me if I would come and speak with their friends. So when I went over and spoke with their friends, there were like 9 or 10 of them. They were trying to, they were in support of Palestine and we talked and they asked me about what I thought about the war there. And I told them that I'm actually against all war, but that was the most I had engaged with Muslims.
And then, so just kind of taking it back to Trump just for a second, Trump's rhetoric, his now debunked claims that Haitian immigrants are eating people's pets in Springfield, Ohio. This was spread by both Trump and Vance. Can you kind of just maybe tell us what your thoughts are on this? And do you think this creates a more negative stereotype around not just immigrants, but people in poverty as well?
Well, being from Tucson over here at the border, we went through similar stuff approximately 15 years ago. Pets were disappearing. They didn't know if they were using them for satanic ritual stuff or eating them. So I've heard this kind of rumor before. My issue is there's a reason we have legal immigration. The big thing about legal immigration is that we have laws, and we're supposed to immigrate them in a process so they understand our laws. My wife and I got in an argument about it. For example, they were overeating the salmon. They were headed up to spawn, upriver to spawn, where they would catch them before they could spawn. She was very upset about that. And I said, well, honey, I'm not upset at them at all, because it's what they do. They don't know our laws. They have a different lifestyle and different laws in the country they came from. Immigration is a process to where you first learn our laws, then you implement, you integrate into our society. What they've done here is they've taken thousands of people from other countries that have different laws than ours and just want to put them in two communities where we have laws that they don't have any understanding of. So I can't be mad at any of the migrants that are here. I'm upset with the government that has brought them in here without integrating them correctly.
Right. Yeah. And that's a good segue. I mean, as you know, Arizona is a border state. So, you know, if you're elected to office, what would be your stance on immigration?
Well, I've actually been endorsed by immigrants, legal immigrants that came here, and they were part of the DACA program. But being in Tucson and seeing what's happening because of our open borders, I would want to finish the wall. I'd want to direct them into the ports of entry, because right now, every one of them that are entering our southern border here in Tucson, it's 14 miles from a port of entry to the wall. That port of entry is closed, so they're coming around the wall. It is against the law to enter the country at any area other than a legal port of entry. None of them are entering a port of entry here in Tucson, so we have thousands of migrants coming across. They're being picked up by the Border Patrol, who drives up to 14 miles to get them, drives back 14 miles, take them to the station, then they load them on a bus in 3 points, and then they drive them to one of the migrant camps, which are huge here in Tucson. All while the Border Patrol are doing that, they're not doing the job they're supposed to be doing. So the drug runners are crossing Mr. Chilton's ranch. He's a rancher here, and he's got trail cams on his property, and he's giving these over to the sheriff and to the congressional leaders. As of today, not one person has been arrested. He's got since 2019 videos of them crossing there. My dad's property's on the other side of the Chilton's ranch, where they leave all the empty backpacks that they had when they were in the cameras. Beyond that, there's a checkpoint for the Border Patrol, but it's closed. There's no Border Patrol agents there because they're all driving up and down the border wall. So they have free access in with all the fentanyl that I'm sure you've heard of, the deaths from the fentanyl that's plaguing our country right now. Probably the number one killer in our country.
And then just last question here. How do you propose on addressing the reproductive health needs of women in Arizona, or your District 7, a district with a diverse opinion on the issue, while ensuring that you represent a balanced and broad spectrum of the views?
For starters, it's now a state law or state rights, so I would have no say in it. Though Ken wants to, he wants to be a part of it. I think it's amazing that men actually have an opinion on it, because it should be between a woman and her doctor. But to me, it's just a distraction, because the Democrats right now have nothing they can run on. The economy sucks, the border's a crisis. So they want to run on this abortion issue, which, and they turn it into, you know, women's health, which is really, the cases of it affecting women's health, most of those are because women have gotten ill or died because an abortion was done way past the point where it should have been done. An infection has set in and killed them. It's got nothing to do with a law against abortion. It has to do with doing abortions too late term. And here in Arizona, you can have it's legal to have an abortion up to 15 weeks. So it's not an issue in Arizona. We have abortion here. It's legal here. Everyone wants to say, oh, no, no, we need it longer than that, or they throw up. Well, why would you want a woman to carry a child that her grandfather raped her, her uncle raped her and gave her? Well, within 15 weeks, I would think she know whether or not her uncle raped her. But on my opinion, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I was taught to, I respect the sanctity of all life. I'm against the death sentence, and I'm against abortion. But it is the law here that a woman can have abortion up to 15 weeks, and I accept that, because it is the law.
Right. So, I mean, would you support either maybe codifying it into law federally, or would you, I mean, because now it's up to the states, right? So in Texas, I would have to drive out of state, or, you know, any woman who is in need of an abortion would have to drive out of state. Do you maybe think that's okay? Or, you know, can you kind of tell me about that?
Well, the majority of the population want less federal government within our states, and they want these in states. I think you should, like here in Arizona, they want to expand the abortion time frame up to 7 months. It's actually whenever the baby can remain outside the mother's womb without assistance of life support that a baby can be aborted. And that's 139 here in Arizona. But I believe each state needs to go ahead and put into what they want and vote on it so that each state has what their community wants to recognize is legality. Do I think a man has a right in a robe to decide what everybody should do? Absolutely not. Nor do I think that it should be the other way. It should not, it should be based on what the majority want. Therefore, it should be put on a ballot and voted on, not dictated by 30 people.
Thank you. All right. Well, Mr. Gutierrez, that is all the questions I have for you today. Thank you again for joining us. It was lovely having you.
You're welcome.